you to stand with us if you'd like and turn to number 176 through the first, third, and the fourth. 176. There was a time on earth when in the book of heaven an old account was standing for sins yet unforgiven. My name was at the top and many things below. I went unto the keeper and said, oh, long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sin away. When the old account was settled long ago, when at the judgment bar I stand before my King, and he the book will open, he cannot find a thing. Then will my heart be glad, while tears of joy shall flow, because I had it settled, and settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. When the old account was settled long ago, oh, sinner, seek the Lord, repent of all your sin, for thus he has commanded, if you would enter in, and then if you should live 100 years below, even here you'll not regret it. You settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sin away. When the old account was settled long ago, $245 in the blue book. $245. From the lofty courts of heaven came a bud on earth to bloom, knowing when he left his father that his fate would be the tomb. But the grave, it could not hold him. Angels rolled the stone away. Now the mighty rose of Sharon is still blooming yet today. But the next time he comes, he won't have to die for me. The next time he comes, there won't be a Calvary. The next time he comes, we'll begin eternity. And when he comes again, he'll be coming for me. I remember when I met him, how the Spirit took control. He established my going. Now he stars in my life's role. For a man to come from heaven, knowing then of Calvary. Oh, what love beyond all measure, that he'd give his life for me. But the next time he comes, he won't have to die for me. The next time he comes, there won't be a cavalry. The next time he comes, we'll begin eternity. And when he comes again, he'll be coming for me. Because he lives. Because he lives. Number 99. Is that the one? 99. Number 99. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. And an empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds a future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold our newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days, because Christ lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds a future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross that river. I'll find life's fight, no war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I know he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds a future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
ask you to pray for the message today. Pray that the word of the Lord will have free course. My scripture reading, if you would care to follow along, will be from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, beginning with verse 11. Ezekiel 34, beginning with verse 11. Title my message and the thought that the Lord has given me to try to convey before you today, and I want you to all give serious thought to this, and I would to God that we would do this today. The title of my message will be Take a Good Look. Take a Good Look. And so let's read together from Ezekiel 34, beginning with verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, I will feed them with judgment. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but ye must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but ye must foul the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. Therefore thus saith the Lord God unto them, Behold, I will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle, because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder and pushed all the diseased with your horns till ye have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. And I want to stop my reading there with verse 26. These scriptures here in this 34th chapter of Ezekiel are so rich and so beautiful. I wish I could just speak about all of them today. I really love the 23rd verse about the fact that God said he would set up one shepherd over them and feed them. But my thought today is taken from the last verse that I read, verse 26. And that is, I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. And again, I want you to consider the thought, take a good look. And I thought about in the beginning of this, and what I want you to do today, what I want to ask all of us to do here today, is to really take a good look at our lives. Take a real good look. And the question has been rolling around in my mind, have you ever complained about something? Think about that for just a moment. If there's somebody here today that can truly answer no to that, you come up here because I want to shake hands with you. I think one of the things that I have loved and enjoyed so much through the years about pastoral work is that you don't have to get it all in one sermon. And I suppose that what I have on my heart today will perhaps be a continuance about what the Lord had given me to speak about last Sunday morning. But I think that we are all guilty. I know I am. You know, I can confess that for myself because I know that about myself, that I am guilty at times of complaining about things. And it seems that every time that I have enough sense about me to use this method, when I have found myself whining or murmuring or complaining about something, if I will take a good look, I mean, if I'll really stop in great honest consideration and take a good look, I feel ashamed and guilty of ever complaining about anything. And so I want us to think certainly today about God's blessings upon us, God's promise here of what He would do for His people. Of course, Ezekiel was a prophet during the time when Israel was captive in Babylon. And that's what a lot of this 34th chapter of Ezekiel has to deal with, of God's promise to one day bring them out of that situation of bondage. God knows how to deliver His people. And we see many examples of that in the Scriptures. He knew how long to leave them there in Babylon to accomplish what He wanted to teach them by that. And when it was time to bring them out, God brought them out. And I'm sure that during those 70 years that they learned a lot of good lessons. But the last verse that I read that spoke about this shower of blessing, that word shower there, it literally means rain. The Hebrew word from which it was taken means exactly that. It's talking about a rain shower. And God was saying to them, I believe in this, that when I bless you, that it won't be with just a drop. It won't be just a little drop of rain. I will bless you with showers of blessings. Now, He wasn't just talking to them about literal rain, the water that falls down from heaven. But I will say this, that the Bible teaches me very plainly that when it does rain, when rain does come up on the earth many times, that God is blessing with the rain. We can look at the rain and we can say that's a blessing from God. You know, lately we have had a lot of rain. I mean, we've had several days where it rained, and I think we begin to wonder if there's going to be any sunshine. And if we listen to ourselves and the things that we say, we find ourselves a lot of times complaining about the rain. You know, I wish the rain would quit. I'd like to go play golf, or I'd like to go fish, or but we're just having, you know, day after day of rain. We need some sunshine. We need a sunshiny day where we can get out and and do something. And, you know, we say all of these things, but you know what? I promise you this. When God sends that rain down, if He sends the rain down on Tuesday, and the next day on Wednesday He decides to send it again, and He decides to send it again on Thursday, I promise you this, that God knows exactly what He's doing. He knows exactly how much rain to send. We can say all that we want to say. We can say within ourselves as we do, well, we need this and we need that, but God knows exactly how to take care of His earth that He created. I mean, He's got it figured right down to the last drop of how much rain He wants to send. And if you look in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, you'll find out that when the rain comes down from heaven and when the snow comes down from heaven and falls upon the earth, it's not just happenstance, or it's not just something that is God is doing arbitrarily. God has a purpose in sending that. It is to water the earth. When we see the rain fall from the skies and we see the snow fall from the skies, God is watering His earth that it might give bread to the eater and seed to the sower. That's exactly what 55th chapter of Isaiah tells us. That's God's purpose in sending the rain. God blesses everybody with it when He sends it. Jesus said that He sends the rain upon the just and upon the unjust. So everybody can benefit from that which God does when He sends these showers upon the earth. I even thought about, and you know, Jesus taught in parables. And of course, nobody can teach like Jesus. I've thought about different things in the Bible that I've read and tried to think of a parable about them. And I always think about how my parables seem so inadequate compared to the great parables that I read about in the Bible. But when I thought about this verse here about God talking about showers of blessings, and the fact that this word shower here actually does refer to raindrops, a great multitude of raindrops falling down. And I thought about how that even in our houses that we get in the shower. And if you're cold, if you've been out in the elements and you're cold, boy, I'll tell you, I don't know about you, but a hot shower feels good to me. If my body's cold, and I imagine what it would be like to get in there and turn the shower on and have one drop, just one drop of water hitting you, one drop of warm water, how much greater it would feel to just have a shower, you know, just an abundance of warm water hitting your body and warming your bones. And that's the way God said He'll bless us, with showers of blessings. And I'll tell you what, when we take a good look, if we'll do that today, if we'll really take a good look and we'll really consider things, and we will not allow the Israelite in us to come out, because isn't that exactly what they did? I mean, God could be blessing those people. He could be blessing them and blessing them and blessing them, and the least little thing that would happen, they would begin to whine. They would begin to complain. They would begin to murmur. You know, the first obstacle. God brought those people out of Egypt on the Exodus, and He manifested Himself to them in the day in the pillar of a cloud and in the night by a pillar of fire. And He led them on the Exodus towards Canaan, towards the promised land. And when they would come up against a small obstacle, when they would get hungry, or when they came, you know, there to the Red Sea and they felt like they were trapped, any obstacle that was before them, they would begin to complain to God, complain to Moses. And, you know, we can look at that and we can say, well, they sure did a lot of complaining. But if we take a good look, won't we see that there's a lot of Israelite in us? That we've got a lot of those same characteristics in us? We today, if we really take a good look at our lives, we'll realize just how blessed that we really have been. You know, today when we came here to church and I stood back there at the back door some and shook hands with you folks as you came in. I walked around some here today and shook hands with you and talked to you and greeted you this morning. And you know, I didn't see anybody, and I thought about this today, I didn't see anybody pass through here today that was wearing worn out, tattered garments, tattered clothes. Take a good look. I'm talking about right now for just a little while about even the natural blessings that God gives to us, because I'm convinced that He gives us both natural and spiritual blessings. And in James chapter 1, verse 17, he said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. That it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God blesses us, doesn't He? And we can look at those things, and you know, I thought about so many things when I studied this and considered these thoughts, and I have never yet in the time that I've been here as your pastor here at Fairview Memorial, I have never yet received a phone call. I've had a lot of people call me and say, Brother Miller, I'm not going to be able to be there at church today, and I wanted you to know that because, we're going on a vacation. My family and I, we're going on a vacation, and we're going to take some time away, and we're not going to be there for a couple of weeks. Or I've had people call and say, I want you to know that I've been sick this week and I'm not going to be able to be there this week. But I've never had anybody call me yet and say, Brother Miller, I just wanted to call you and let you know that I'm not going to be able to be at church today because I just have absolutely nothing to wear. Never have I received one phone call from anybody saying that. We've been blessed. We are blessed. We have plenty to wear. We have plenty to eat. We have shelter. We have these natural blessings of God, these good gifts that come down from above. And we would look at ourselves today, at the membership of those that make up this church, and I think that we would all, if we look at each other today, we would say, well, none of us are really wealthy people. Well, that depends on who you're asking, doesn't it? I mean, that depends on who's looking at you. I promise you today that there are many people in this world that think that we are very wealthy. And I'm talking about according to the natural possessions that we have. There are people in this world today that have hardly nothing. I mean, they just barely have enough food to even live on. Their children are in dire need. I thought about this morning, honestly, I thought about little Dawson. Just here a week or so back, he came in here and he was so dressed up and he looked so sharp, and I thought, what a beautiful child. He had that little tie on and he was just walking around, and he just looked so precious and so beautiful. And you know what? Listen, honestly, there are children in the world that if they had that pretty little outfit to put on, I mean, they would think they were on top of the world, wouldn't they? God has blessed us with showers of blessings. I believe today that we live in a country, we live in a nation, that God has done that. He has blessed us with showers of blessings. And you know, honestly, we are probably one of the most complaining, whining people that there is. I don't think I'm ever going to get this out of my mind. Brother Brad Hicks, not long ago, a year and a half or so back, when he had an opportunity to take a trip there to Africa, he said when he was over there with Brother Alonde that they went to a service, and he said there was a woman that came into that service, an African woman that came there, and I mean, she was poor. I mean, what we would consider poor, this woman was poor. And he said she came into that service and she got down on her knees and she began to pray. And he said the more she prayed, the louder her voice got, and tears were just rolling down her face. And she prayed and she prayed and she prayed. And Brother Brad said he asked Brother Alonde, what was that woman praying so earnestly about? Brother Alonde said she was just thanking God for all of his blessings upon her. Oh my goodness, don't we overlook so many things. Don't we take so many things for granted? We have been blessed with showers of blessings. I'll say one thing. If you are living, I mean, if you are striving to live close to God, if you're trying to, as I said earlier, if you're trying in your life not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, of yourself together with the people of God, if you're trying to be a witness for God, if you're trying to serve God in your life, no matter what you try to do, you'll never come close. You'll never come close to doing that for God which will repay him for what he's done for you. Let alone if you come to church just once in a while. If we present our bodies, the Bible teaches us, if we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, that all that we will ever accomplish in that is doing what is our reasonable service. We get up, I'm afraid, sometimes on Sunday morning, and we go to church and we sit there on a padded pew in a comfortable building that's air-conditioned in the summer or heated in the winter, and we drive in a car that's air-conditioned or heated on the way to church, and we wear nice clothes, and we get there and we sit in church for an hour, and we go away thinking that we've done our service to God for the week. No. No, God wants a lot more than that, doesn't he? Amen. He wants us to give our lives to him, and we owe that to him. We owe that to him, and then so much more. We shouldn't serve him out of obligation, though. We ought to serve him because we love him. Amen. Well, I do those things for him out of love, but we do owe that to him. We owe him our total allegiance. God's been good to me, been good to you, and if we take a really good look, we'll see that. If we really, you know, if we'll get past ourselves, I'll tell you the things that we worry about in our nation, that we fret about in our nation. Listen, I know this to be a fact. I've heard it. And I've been guilty of it at times myself. I remember back in the early 1980s, in the very early years of my ministry, I was working there in Indianapolis at Western Electric, and they began to shut the plant down. I mean, there were going to be a lot of us. There was about 7,500 people that worked there, and there was going to be a lot of us that were going to lose our jobs. And I remember one day this young lady that worked there, and she worked on an assembly line right across from me, and I saw her about every day. And I remember one day that she was just all day long, I could tell that she was bothered, and that she was depressed and that something was really working on her. And so I asked her later on in the day, I said, what's wrong? What's bothering you? And she said, well, you know, when I lose my job, I'm afraid that my husband and I will have to sell our custom van. That's what was bothering her. And you know what? I mean, a lot of times in this nation, that's exactly the way we think, isn't it? That's the way we think. I mean, there are people that, in this world, there are people that are in desperate need of the things that they need just to survive day to day. In desperate need of food, of medicine, of clothing. And thank God for those people that reach out and try to help them. But folks, listen, if we take a good look, we will realize that we don't have anything to complain about, won't we? Nothing. And that's just, as I said, the natural blessings. I want to move on to bigger things, because if you look in the first chapter of Ephesians in verse 3, Paul talked about the fact that God had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. You know, these things that I have here in this world, whether I have them or don't have them, it's not going to matter very long. It's not going to make any difference very long in this life, because we just have a short life here, and it's really not going to matter how much you have or how much you don't have, and it's certainly not going to make any difference in eternity, because we are taught in the Bible that we came into this world with nothing, and it's certain that we're going to leave with nothing. When we arrived here, we didn't possess anything. When we leave here, we're not taking anything with us. But God blessed me with riches along the way. God blessed me with prosperity along the way that goes far above what these natural blessings bring. God has blessed me with spiritual blessings. I'll tell you what, the night that I bowed on my knees and prayed to God and sought the Lord and begged Him to save my soul, when God spoke peace to my soul, He put riches inside of me that will last for all of eternity. And since that day, I have been among the wealthy of the world. You see, the wealthy people of the world are not those. The world's got it all wrong. They've got it all wrong. The rich of the world are not those that own mansions or Lincolns or Cadillacs. That's not the rich of the world. The rich people of this world are those that know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. And I want you to know, if you are here today and you're lost and without God, I want you to know this today, that no matter what you gain, no matter what you accomplish, if you leave this world and you have millions of dollars in your bank account, or you own 1,000 mansions, no matter what you may accomplish in this world, if you don't find the Lord, then you haven't found anything. You haven't found anything worth having. Was not Lazarus a blessed man? I mean, we read about him in the 16th chapter of Luke, and that man, he was so poor and so destitute of the daily needs of life that he had to beg for a few crumbs to eat. He had to lay there at that rich man's gate, and he had to just beg for the crumbs that fell from that rich man's table just so he could have a little something to sustain his body. But the Bible tells us that Lazarus died and he was carried into heaven. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And that rich man that fared sumptuously every day, he died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Listen to me, lost friend. Whether it's possessions or whether it's fame or whether it's pride, whatever it is that you're chasing after, if it's taking you away from finding the Lord, it's not worth it. Jesus asked the question, what would it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What would it profit you? Nothing. If you don't have peace with God down in your heart, then you don't have anything. I don't care how much you owe. And that's exactly what I believe. You don't have anything that's worth anything if you don't have the Lord, if you don't know Him in a pardon and forgiveness of sins. So God has showered us with His blessings. And I would to God that we would thank Him properly for that, because we should. We ought to give Him, we ought to render unto the Lord the glory and the thanks that's due to His name. God, forgive me for ever complaining. I don't have anything to complain about. Nothing. God's been good to me in this life. I've often thought, you know, I've just had this overwhelming feeling come upon me many times, that if the Lord were to come to me and say, today is it. This is it. This is your last day. This is your last day upon the earth. I could look back over my life and I could say, God has been good to me while I've been here. God has blessed me. God has blessed me while I've lived here in this world. But you know what? I look forward to what's ahead. I look forward to what God has in store for us just ahead. Because the things that we've seen here won't even compare to the things that He has waiting for those of us who know the Lord. God has showered us with His goodness and with His blessings. And let us return thanks to Him with thankful hearts for everything that He's done for us. I appreciate your attention. I've got something that I feel like we need to do today. I believe we need to have a recognition of our mothers today. And I hope we've got enough room up here. I want to ask them all to come up front and just start over here and line up, and we're going to have a song and come and shake hands with the mothers here today. This is Mother's Day, and it's very scriptural because the Bible says, honor your mother and your father. And so we want to try to do that today.